Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to Signs of Life Radio. I'm your host, Bob Ginsberg. And tonight we have a great guest. John Holland is here with us. Before I introduce John, we usually take callers on this show. This is an interview. So John, as you know, is one of the leading mediums in the world, but he's not doing readings tonight. This is going to be an interview and questions. But you are welcome to call in if you had a general question about mediumship or the spirit realm and so forth. And the number here is 888-627-6008. John Holland is one of the most highly respected psychic mediums in the country today. He's also certified by Forever Family Foundation. He's a spiritual teacher, an author, and a founder of My Soul Community. His demonstrations of mediumship provide audiences with a unique glimpse into the fascinating world of a medium, as he explains how he can blend his own energy with that of spirit to create a link to be able to communicate with the other side. John studied in the UK for several years. He's spent the last 20-plus years continually training and honing his gifts, and that's made him one of the most sought-after professional mediums in the world. He starred in numerous TV shows, documentaries. He's the author of 6 books, 4 Oracle decks, mobile apps, and a lot more.
Yeah.
Welcome, John.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
All right. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
You too. Glad to be here. And when you say no readings, Bob, you got another, that's another night that you're once a month or something you do anyways, right?
That's right. Glad you mentioned it. On the third Thursday of every month is Mediums and Messages, where we invite a certified medium and listeners get to call in and to get a reading.
That's right.
A couple of things I want to ask you.
Sure.
People have, give them some insight into you and the world of mediumship. And there's a lot of things that people ask us, which I'll in turn ask you. But personally, over the years, I found that a large majority of the evidential mediums have had intuitive abilities as a child. Mm-hmm. Was that the case for you?
Yep. That's why my book, Bob, my very first book in 2003, believe it or not, is called Born Knowing. This is how I was. It's on my mother's side of the family, Italian, Irish, Catholic family. I believe, Bob, we're all born with some type of seed in the soul, right? Whether it's a gift, talent, or ability. I was born with very artistic talent, never taken an art class when I was a kid, and I was incredibly intuitive. And I say psychic also because we're all psychic, right? It was enhanced. And anything that had to do with any movies that had to do with Song of Bernadette, religious movie, Moses, anything that showed miracles, I was fascinated by any TV shows that had to do with ghost or magic. I loved magic as a kid. All those shows that, anything that had to do with science, religion. It wasn't just ghost stories, okay? But anything like that. Because back in the early 60s, there's really not a lot out there. And TV programs like I Dream a Genie, Bewitched, fascinating. So I was like this as a kid. And I was born this way. And I just knew things that a kid shouldn't know, like who's coming over. When somebody was in trouble, I would finish people's sentences. And I'm one of 5 kids, Bob, and I got 2 other brothers. They're out playing baseball and football and, hockey. And I'm there drawing and reading any kind of book that had to do with metaphysics, at least what was out there in the 60s. So, yeah, I was born this way, actually. And people say, well, what's your first experience? Weren't you afraid of it, too? I can't be afraid of something that was always there that I was born with. I just remember the spirit people coming into my bedroom. I thought I was dreaming, you know? So, but Bob, like anything else, if you're any different, even now with bullying, I was called names. My family, my dad would say something's wrong with, he used to say to my mother, Bob, something's wrong with your son. So now I'm just hers. Right. So, you know what I mean? So I hid the ability. I didn't want to be, I was a skinny kid with big glasses, a patch on the eye, big ears. Yeah. So I was quite a state. So I just learned to, I pushed it away, Bob, I pushed it down. Yeah. But I was like this even as a kid.
Yeah. So that, you know, well, that was, that's interesting, but it's not unheard of. A lot of mediums like repress these abilities because, you know, for the reasons that you just mentioned, they're told it's not normal, you know, and then they don't rediscover or embrace their abilities until they reach adulthood. But it doesn't seem like it never really bothered you, right? I mean, you just accept it as the way.
No, I just accepted it. And my teenage friends would know, I would just do something like small with them, like, you know, pick a number 1 to 10. And funny enough, I don't know, Bob, how you met more mediums also, but is it in the genes? Is it in the ancestry? I don't know. My grandmother, Rose, my Italian grandmother, never, the word psychic was never used. It was grandma knows things, right? So I had no support, really. I had an aunt, her daughter, my mother's sister. She was into dreams. She had all these dreams books, but I had no support. So all these people, like there were some mediums who had encouraging parents that, you know, that were there, you know, to encourage it, you know, the younger ones probably now, but there was really nobody there for me except just books, you know, and then there wasn't all the books that are out there now. So yeah, I just pushed it away, and I would bring it out once in a while, and an automobile accident is what I had my wake up call. And that's when it came full force. You know, Bob, the TV, Unsolved Mysteries, and the History Channel and A&E, they always make it like that accident I had at 30 made me this way. No. If I believe, Bob, you have a purpose, right? I did everything. I was in my 20s, living in L.A., living the high life, partying, different jobs. I didn't do anything with my art or psychic ability. The accident was my wake-up call, and I thank God that that happened, believe it or not. I walked away from a car that was crushed, and I didn't just say, wow, how lucky I am. I just said, thank you, God. Because when that happened, that's when I got my life together, left a relationship that I shouldn't have been in. And I became I started studying the mechanics of psychic ability. And that's when the doors opened, Bob. I never set out to do this, Bob, though. You've never, you know what I mean? It's very rare where someone says, oh, I want to be a medium as a kid, and then aim towards that. I was just following, how do I turn it off? How do I understand this? And that's how it happened.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to ask you about that because in reading one of your books, I mean, I think it was Bridging Two Realms, but
yes,
you wrote about having that near fatal car accident. Now, I know lots of times when people have near death experiences, it sort of kickstarts their intuition and psychic abilities, but yours was a bit different. You always had those abilities. It's just that having that brush with death made you reevaluate your life.
Exactly, Bob. I got my shit together. I got my antenna together. You know, my energy centers are. I started studying it. I became a better antenna. And I didn't know that it was going to come on so strong. I mean, it came on strong, Bob, and fast. I felt like this energy going through me, you know, all the time. And I'm like, okay, how do I shut it off? Why is this working? What do I do about it? Because I didn't want to be laughed at, Bob. Like, yeah, I got that as a kid. I didn't want to be like, oh, you're psychic, read my palm, or oh yeah, sure you are. I wanted to know the science. That's why I love Forever Family Foundation, where science meets spirituality. Perfect. That's why I love your organization, Bob.
Well, you know, we love you too. One of the things that I personally like about you is that despite your tremendous popularity, you know, over several decades,
right,
you always remained grounded, which I can't say about a lot of mediums. Like, you know, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but like, you're not one of these people who thinks their shit doesn't stink, you know?
Right. Well, Bob, you know what? It was my upbringing, Bob, too, though. And remember, when I'm trying to teach students who have, you know, if they have the ability, I try to, you know, teach them to enhance it. When they start saying, I got this, I did this reading, I got that, and I say, oh, you got it, or was it given to you? See, because you're just, it's not coming from us. So I stay humble, Bob. It's my upbringing. And I was never competitive with this work. You know, like, well, who's that medium? Who's this? You know what? I look at it this way. There's enough dead people for everybody. Okay. No pun intended, but it's, you know, we're meant to, you know, I was trained by spiritualists, Bob, right? And they take it very, very seriously. The spirit world and the continuity of life. And they're very serious about the evidence when you do this work.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just go to a call. We have Gina on the line. She has a question about quieting the mind. Sure. Gina, are you there?
Hello, yeah. Hi.
Hi, Gina. You're on with John.
Hi, John. Hi,
Gina. Yeah. Hello.
You have a question for Gina?
We met before. I actually met John. I went to one of the classes with Anita Morjani and you a couple years ago.
Okay.
And my question is, how do you quiet your mind so that you can receive messages? What's your best technique? Because mine goes pretty wild, and I've tried a lot of things. I was just wondering if you have any suggestions.
Well, of course, I mean, Gina, you hear everybody say meditation, right? That's the monkey mind, right? The monkey mind. But after so many years of doing this, Bob, it's almost like, really, the accident was at 30. I went to England at 35. So 25, yeah, we're talking 25 years now, Gina. So what I do is I go out to, you don't have to sit meditation. A lot of people, Bob and Gina, think that it's sitting there chanting with, you know, your legs crossed, like there's all kinds of meditations, Gina. Find what works for you. I like doing intuitive walks. I like going in the woods. When my dog was alive, I did it 3-4 times a week. I get real quiet and, you know, look up, you know, intuitive walking or I walk in meditation too, Gina. But when you say quiet your mind, you mean before I demonstrate or what? Are you a working medium? Or when you say quiet the mind, well, stay off of social media sometimes too, right? Because that does all the thinking for you. We're bombarded with sound. So it takes effort and mind focus. But when you say quiet the mind, you mean always or just before you do mediumship?
Just, yeah, I guess both. But yeah, those, I'm like you. You know, I think going out in nature helps me to, I can't do traditional meditation. So
right.
I'll look that up. So you said intuitive meditation, walking.
Yeah, it's called meditation in motion, right? Meditation in motion.
Oh,
as you walk, you count one, as you put your foot down, one, the next foot, two, three, in your mind. And then you start all over again, one, two. And then what happens too, Gina, now meditation, Bob, and people slip into meditations all the time. All right. Bob goes there when he doesn't even want to. Right. So, you know, Gina, you know, when you're washing the dishes and you start to space out, right? You start to like look out the window, or some people are on an elliptical, the exercise machine, and then they start to zoom out. Many times, Gina, people are driving and then you realize, oh, I'm driving. That is all slipping into, you know, meditation. But with the driving part, people are usually safe with it too. So just find the best advice, Gina, find the meditation that works for you, because there's all kinds. There's lighting a candle, there's breathing meditations, there's mantras where you just repeat the same word over and over again. The one word, love, om, for, you know, over and over. And another one is looking at a mandala, right? Where you just look at a photo, you know, a mandala that you make or a poster. So find the meditation that works for you, right? And I know Deepak Chopra, Bob, he goes on a silence retreat. Now, try to be quiet for 24 hours, okay? Don't speak to anybody. Don't say anything. What's going to happen? That's tough. Deepak Chopra does it for 7 days where he's silent. And I'm like, what's happening? All those thoughts start to slow down, Gina. Little by little, they stop slowing down. But before I do mediumship, I am so focused on the other side that my mind doesn't come into it anymore. But, you know, that took many, many years. I'm not, when I have a ritual, okay, before I get on stage or a private client, because I'm Catholic and I'm, you know, I just get on my knee and I'll just give myself, you know, I'll say the Our Father. And that lets me, lets the spirit people know that, okay, I'm ready, Gina, because we're in a society right now. There's a lot of stuff happening. You know, so I can't be in my own head when I sit for someone because so it's the monkey mind, but try meditation and motion to start. And if not, for you, you might want a mantra, right? Just om, om. And then it slowly starts to, it gets quiet and quieter, Gina, okay?
All righty. Thank you so much. Well,
thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Calling, Gina. Yeah. John, I can relate, in getting, there's many different ways to getting into an altered state of consciousness.
That's right.
I'm sort of like you. You know how I meditate? I joined a golf club, and the people in the golf club think that I'm either stuck up or I'm a sociopath because I play by myself because it's beautiful. I can do my thinking as I'm walking through the course. I don't have to bother with anything. Walking through nature is really effective, you know, or listening to music or looking at art. So I appreciate what you say where it's not, getting.
Chanting with incense in a cave like a monk. Yeah, I mean, but Bob, with you with golf too, right? You're in your own space, you know, your thoughts. That's why I love going on long drives sometimes too, by myself. And I don't mind it at all. But yeah, people can slip. You know, Bob, there's a lot of noise out in the world too, right? And that's why I say you can get sucked in. And people, this is what I love. People are like, I don't have time to meditate. Yes, you do. Weren't you just scrolling for 15 minutes looking at Instagram or TikTok? That could have been your 5 minutes that you need. And then it gets easier and easier. But I'm glad that you enjoy yourself with your time, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a good sleeper. I get up early in the morning and I watch the sunrise. Man, you get a lot. There's a lot of things you can get out of that, you know? And that's something in my so-called past life that I would never think of doing, but that's what I do now. Let's go. I mean, we have a lot of callers, and I know there's other stuff we want to get to, but let's take Chester from Florida.
Hey.
Hi, Chester.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, John.
Hey,
how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great. We've been to a retreat and I've met you once and you are fantastic. Actually, twice.
Thank you, Chester. Thank you.
Yeah, my question was, I didn't realize until 12 years after it happened, but my business partner ripped me off for a lot of money. My question to you is, if I had passed before I found out, if I had gone to the other side, up to heaven, hopefully, Would I have been aware of that at that point, or is it a moot point? At that point?
Okay. I thought he was going to go somewhere else with that question. I thought you were going to say, Chester, can I tell the people here that that happened to a loved one? Sometimes I think too.
That's
experience,
interesting too. Yeah.
I know. Yes. Yep. I mean, you can, but you would have to give it to me in a way I would understand it, Chester. And I think it's like this too. Because I know people, and so does Bob, people that have died who went to the other side were resuscitated and came back, right? That's where I love getting my information, Bob, not just from people that have passed, that are over there in the spirit world. I like getting the people that have already been there, saw it, felt it. And according to my colleagues, and especially Anita Morjani, too, Chester, is that, believe it or not, we let go of all that. We don't take that with us. Doesn't mean that... I don't know if you forget it, but I know you don't care anymore. Anything about finances, homes, clothes. I've never heard, and I've never, Bob, in the 30, 25 years of doing this work, I've never heard somebody say, damn it, I miss my motorcycle. Damn, I miss my house on Sanibel Island. Damn, I miss, but who I feel for, all right? So, somebody, this was like a business partner or something, Chester, somebody did this for you, did this, right?
Yes.
Okay, so think about it. When we go to the other side, I really, really believe that you get a life review from what I understand from the people that have gone there and come back, right? I guess we'll find out ourselves. I don't want to have to do it the way they did, all right? I'll be like, yep, I'll go there when my time is. I believe that all the good you did, all the negative stuff here, You feel it. You are your own judge and jury on the other side, right? Just like the movie, Bob, mm-hmm. What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams. Bob, you've seen that movie, right?
Oh, yes. Yep. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember his wife who she took her life and she was in hell? She
yes,
put herself there.
And he had to get
there,
down to save her.
Remember? Yeah. She put herself there because she felt like this is where she was. Right. I don't believe in a hell. I do believe in a lower vibration, maybe on the other side, but I don't believe in the devil and the demon and that, you know, but she put herself there. I love the movie, but that part was pretty dark in the movie where she's stuck in that black
mud. That was,
mud.
Yeah.
Yep. So you are your own judge and jury. So that person who did this to you or took that money, they got to deal with that on the other side. That's why some people here on the planet that I see that I'm like, I don't understand these people karmically. I'm like, wow, imagine when they go there, what they have to go through, you know? So, yeah, but Chester, yeah, you don't take it with you, my friend.
It would work itself out, and to a degree it has, you know?
Yep.
I mean, he had a bunch of happen, which, you know, I don't wish evil on anybody, but my other friend, my mutual friend said, oh, can you believe he ended up getting this girl pregnant, and he's 47 years old, and now he's got this, and he weighs 300 pounds. He'd just be so vain. So I kind of feel like karma does come back a bit.
Yeah.
Well, all right, well,
thanks, Chester.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Take care. I think the takeaway, as you were alluding to, John, is that, you know, when we cross over to the other realm, we lose our ego. So there's no more incentive. You know, we're an entity of thought. We're an open book. I mean, there's no reason. At first, you might think of that and say, well, that's an invasion of privacy, but it's not. We have nothing to hide. There's no material things. There's no greed. There's no ego. You know, it's just the currency is love and compassion. So it's hard to think in those terms, but it's quite different. I mean, the other question is whether those in the spirit realm kind of keep tabs on us and what's going on in our personal life, you know?
Yeah. That's what I love, Bob. When you see mediums work, it's great when they say, oh, your father passed from the heart attack and he had his aorta removed and, you know, blood, you know, about their past, their relationship to you, where they lived, maybe some of their hobbies. But one of the things that I like to do that I think is helpful is your father's telling me you were just looking at the coin collection with your grandson. I ask them, give me something in my mind, because you know how it's going to work fast, Bob. In my mind, I'll say, give me something that you saw them doing to show the people here. Look, they're still with you. They saw you go to the doctors yesterday. They saw you with the coin collection. And that means so much to people. It's great to get the evidence to show that you're really linking with that spirit or that soul. But when you get something so specific, right, of somebody that did something last week, last month, or that they took somebody's ashes and they put them on the lake. Your father said that he saw, he was in the boat with you watching his ashes go over. He was right there. That means a lot to people, Bob, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll just tell you a quick one. When Fran died and I came back to the house and, you know, she had, we remodeled, you know, gut renovated the entire house. And
sure.
You know, she designed the kitchen. So, you know, I'm alone, so I'm doing all this, you know, stuff myself. So I'm in the kitchen and I'm washing the dishes and, you know, and like there's water splashing all over the place. So I used to talk out loud to her. I still do sometimes. So I said, you know, out loud, I said, Fran, I don't give a shit what you say. This sink is poorly designed. The water goes all over the damn place, you know. The next morning, I got an email from a medium that you know, Janet Mayer, and she says, Bob, I you know, she wasn't doing a reading for me, but she just said, Fran came to me, you know, last night, and she told me to email you and mention the kitchen sink. So, you know, I thought that was pretty cool because here I am, I'm talking out loud, talking about the sink, and she must be paying attention, you know?
I think that's amazing. Isn't that amazing? This is why when you see me on stage and the flow was going, because it's a three-way communication. Everyone thinks it's the medium. It's the recipient, the audience, and also the spirit world. It's a three-way communication from spirit, through spirit, to spirit. When it's happening and it's flowing and everything's beautiful, I get such a high and I'm like, oh, I'm always fascinated about this work. Not me, but how they can get me to do and say what I'm supposed to say. So that's what keeps me humble, Bob, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I hear what you're saying. So when you do, I mean, obviously over the many years, I mean, you've done, God, it must be thousands of reading, individual readings, but you also continue to do group readings. So, and sometimes it's to large groups. So does your process change when doing a group? And, you know, in other words, there's multiple spirits lining up. I mean, how do you navigate through that?
It's, well, what happened with me, Bob, right, is I started doing psychic work. I started reading cards in an aromatherapy shop and always kept my day job. And after 2 years in doing psychic work, because there's a difference, you know that, right, than mediumship,
right,
people on the other side started showing up. And so once again, I studied, why am I seeing somebody's people? I didn't know what the word medium was. I didn't know, why am I feeling and saying things of people that have passed away for the client in front of me? I looked it up. It's mediumship. Everything was from England. I lived in LA. I went to the Bodie Tree bookstore, right? There was nothing there, just these old books on mediums. And that's where I got the training. Bob, what was the question? I'm sorry.
About group readings versus individual.
Yes. So one thing led to another. I mean, I was blessed. It wasn't easy, but when Synchronicity brought me to Hay House. I met a person who introduced me to her literary agent. I got into Hay House. They signed me in a month, right? And they said, look, we see the testimonials. We see your work. We see, you know, you're on the news and Unsolved Mysteries, but how are you in front of people? And I said, well, I'll film it, right? This is going to your question. And I said, okay. So I gave them the clip. They said, okay, now we really know we want you. I said, why? And they said, we're going to start this thing called the I Can Do It Conferences. Right, where it says 32 authors, Bob, and I was the medium. So I went from reading one-on-one and I said to my manager once, my ex, and I said, you know what? I want to start doing groups of 10 or 4 or 6. Well, I did that only for a little while, Bob. Then what happened was I was in front of an audience of 3,000 to 4,000 people. Do you know how accurate you have to be to single out? Because if I said, I have a gentleman here who's packed with cancer, you know how many? You know, so I don't know what happened, Bob. I don't talk a lot about guides, but I know when I stepped on those stages of 3,000 to 4,000 people in England and Australia, I had to get something that was so specific that would be only for the one person, Bob, right? In the 3,000. So my process is, you know, there's a formula that they teach in England, right? Also, there's a certain way to do it. I stick to that. I try to, but I make, Bob, the process, whether it's a group or one-on-one, it's the same for me. But I used to have that. It's all coming in at once. It wasn't until I trained, Bob. You know what I mean? You are in control of it. They are not in control of you. And then I just had to refine it, I would have to just focus on one, just one. And that's when and there's always somebody, Bob, too, if you've watched media, there's always someone that opens the door. And it's not always mothers either, right, or grandmothers. But I focus on the one that I get the most or that I'm hearing the loudest or feeling, and then others will come in, right? Yeah. And, you know, it's we call it, Bob, this is how we can do it. If there's a group here, right, if I'm doing a group of 10, 20, whatever, I could say, okay, I'm coming over here. Oh, yep, wait a second. Okay, I can park that link, park it in my mind, right? It's like you park it. You got to learn how to do this. And then I can go to someone else. I say, remember I was just over here with that basketball? They're telling me this. So I can literally put them on hold, Bob. I can put them on hold one by one if I want. Yep.
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 It's amazing. Because I remember, you know, our friend Joe Scheel once did an exercise at a retreat in the group. It was about 50 people. And he said, I want everybody to turn to your person next to you and start talking to them. And everybody didn't, like, within like 30 seconds. I mean, the noise was deafening, you know.
Right.
So, and then he just said, well, welcome to my world, you know. So, you know, which leads one to believe that you're really being bombarded with many different, you know, voices that are coming through. But you seem to be able to, as you mentioned, you're in control of the situation.
So I am.
You're picking out the spirit that you want to bring through.
Yeah. But Bob, sometimes though, I may get mixed up, right? Because two could be coming at once, and I'm getting it's. I try to tell people in the audience, you know, the ones that sit there with their hands crossed, and they're like, "No, no, no." Right. I'll say, "Look, look, pal," because I got an East Coast attitude. I could use a lot of humor. I'm like, "Look, it. You got to remember when I'm doing this." I gave a speech before. I said, "When you're doing that, I said, it's not coming from me. It's coming through me. I am talking to someone that no longer has a physical voice, a voice box. I'm picking up their words, images, and feelings. You got to work with me, but don't feed me the information." And then they get it. It's not coming from me. I think as you're watching, you forget it. It's coming through me.
Yeah. When you're working, do you use symbols, a lot of mediums?
Absolutely.
You do. So, and so you use those symbols to interpret the information.
Yeah, Bob. And it's always different, right?
Yeah.
Like Joe and I are teaching at Janet, you know, at his church this next week, sign symbols and images, right? This, the spirit world never wastes a thought, right? There's a great one. Spirit world never wastes a thought. You know the saying, Bob, one picture speaks a thousand words.
Yeah.
Right? So when I'm with someone, Niagara Falls, let me ask you, Bob, right? What does Niagara Falls mean to you at the top of your head, Niagara Falls?
I picture the falls, the rushing water, and I think of a tourist, the romantic thing, right?
Okay, you go romantic, right? I've never been there, but for me, every time that I go there, I know someone's from upper state or on the border of upper state or Canada, right? It's not honeymoon. When I used to work for the Canadians, I will see a maple leaf or feel a maple leaf. I will see, you remember Popeye, right? He had the tattoos on his forearm. When I get that, I know that someone was a sailor. But those are the way I get it, right? And the only way I know that, Bob, is because over the years, it's always the same symbol. But Niagara Falls means something to you. Popeye might mean something different to you than it is to me. They're my symbols. So that's what we're teaching too, is like how to use these. And you don't have to be an artist to get it. It's just that, you know, people are like, why am I seeing one eye closed? It could be literal, Bob, too, for somebody, a lost someone that they had one eye or something. But you know what I get for that? I swear, they got a sense of humor too, Bob. I don't know, when we were kids, Bob, right? You could go to a joke shop, remember? Okay, you could buy a joke shop and you could buy different things there. You know, they sell like eyeballs, right? So when I see that in a cocktail glass, I know somebody had a glass eye, and I knew that they would pop it out and scare the kids with it. So imagine go to a meeting. I said, "Oh, your uncle had the glass eye. He used to take it out and freak you out. Oh my God!" Right? Because I see because spirit knows. But a glass eyeball, I mean, an eyeball to somebody else could be optometrist. It could be you need glasses. See, it's only through the same symbol is going to come up over and over again when you're doing this work.
Yeah, well, see, that's the key. I think where mediums get into trouble, and this is probably part of the, you know, your training, in the UK, is that you're told to just give what you get. You know, sometimes I think where mediums get into trouble. So, for instance, in that situation, you're seeing like one eye closed. So a lot of mediums would use the symbols and try to interpret what that could mean. Whereas if they just said, "Why do I see one eye closed?" the sitter knows, right? You know, I mean, so they may not get the message if you're interpreting it in a certain way, as opposed to just, you know, giving what you get.
Yeah, that's called mind focus, Bob. It happens in a matter of seconds, right? Yeah. So by you questioning that, right, in comes the left side of the brain. You could just possibly lose the link with the other side. The analytical side comes in. And every time I have a student that's like, "Well, how come? Well, I don't understand. How come?" I'm like, "What do you do for work?" I'm a lab technician. I am an accountant. It's always a left-brained job. And they have to learn. Joe Scheel calls the right, you know, the intuitive mind, the creative side. It's the creative mind, which is the right side of the brain. And if you just hold on to that image real fast, you get an answer immediately. It's called mind mapping too. Give the symbol a chance. It happens in milliseconds though, Bob. Imagine go to a medium. "Why did I see one eye closed?" They'll leave. Right. So it happens very, very fast. Yep.
Yeah. Tim writes in, he had a question about reincarnation. He wants to know whether you ever had any direct experiences that might, you know, prove reincarnation to you or prove that it's real. I don't know how that would happen. What are your feelings about reincarnation?
Well, I totally believe that we've done this before. Okay. Over and over again, because when I was a kid, I lived in the ghettos of Massachusetts, okay, in this town, all right? It was great starting as a kid, but we all got older. It just, the neighborhood went downhill, abandoned buildings, fires, spray paint. So when I was a kid, I would always dream, Bob, all right, and for the person who asked this, I would always dream of Asian men with bald heads and yellow robes, right? And I would see them in a dream. I'm like, okay, I have no reference for that. And Bob, do you know what the Hare Krishnas are, right?
Yeah.
So in the Boston Commons, right, my mom, every once in a while, it was rare for her to take all five of us out. So in Boston Commons, they have the Hare Krishnas singing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, rocking back and forth. Well, my mother would be in the middle of the public garden. She's like, where's Johnny? Where is he? I was chanting with the Hare Krishnas, right? And Bob, I've had a monk, a Tibetan monk. Now everyone says, of course it's a Tibetan monk as a guy. Why can't it be a plumber? It can be whoever. I was fascinated with that. And I have this thing about Tibet. I've never been there. So I believe, Bob, that I've done this before, right? Many, many times. But some people say this, well, how do I know? One woman came to see me and she says, and this is how she came in to see me. I don't know if this is going to work. I'm like, okay, what? And she said, well, I saw a medium not too long ago, and they said that that she couldn't get my mother because she's reincarnated. I said, well, who's Helen? She goes, my mother. I said, let's go, right? So I don't believe, this is what I think, Bob. Look at it as a hard drive, okay? You have an oversoul. The bigger part of you, only a piece of your soul is here, a tiny piece of it. The bigger part of you, your higher self, the oversoul, it's on the other side. You're just a spark of that. So when the Bob program, it's like a computer hard drive, the Bob Ginsburg program is playing right now. And when that program ends, many years from now, Bob, and it goes back into the hard drive, another piece of that hard drive is going to come out and play another life. So that Bob Ginsburg life is still part of their medium can access, okay? So I don't believe, and say somebody's mother reincarnated here, I believe that their mom, a piece of them, you can still do this, Bob. Right. I know that. But Gordon Smith used that analogy about the computer and the program. Right. I said, that makes sense to me. I feel it does.
Yeah. Well, that was a question that I always thought about, you know, from a medium perspective, is that if somebody reincarnates, would the medium be able to pick up on, you know, the previous life? But then I reasoned that how could the medium, because mediumship is all about evidence, and the person in the present doesn't really know the evidence, you know. So how could they verify anything?
Well, you know what? There is somebody. Now I've met a lot of people in my field, Bob. I'm blessed, right? I met a lot of teachers, all body, mind, and spirit, not just mediums. Okay, like Sonia Choquette, right? She's a brilliant intuitive, right? She's been around forever, right? Good woman. She does people's past lives. And I always say, because I'm a friend with Brian Weiss, I like when someone gets the a regression from themselves and they find out. But I've seen her do it, right? She did it to a friend of mine. She said, Simon, you know, in a previous life that you were a scribe in France. And he's like, oh my God. And he speaks French. He learned how to speak French. And he's a graphic artist, writer for copy, you know, a copywriter. So he's still doing it. So it's amazing when somebody, I really believe, Bob, someone can pick up stuff from a past life like, well, wait a minute, you've always had the ability to work with flowers and nature, right? That could have been something. I don't go there, Bob. I probably could if I, you know, that's the Akashic Records. It goes on and on. Yeah. But I have seen people do it. But my job is to connect to the person because, Bob, when I teach students, they're like, well, I'll ask the two students, who are you connecting with? Oh, She's connecting with my great great grandfather. I'm like, did you know your great great grandfather? No. Then where's the? Then how can you say that?
Right.
See. Yeah.
You know. I know you believe that the spirit world is made up of different planes of existence.
Yes.
And, each one, with different levels of frequency mm-hmm. and vibration. So, as a medium, is it more difficult to connect with someone that's in a much higher frequency plane?
Bob Ginsberg, you asked the best questions. Okay. All right. There were some people, right? And when I say different levels, right? Everyone, I believe that's why I don't believe when a non-educated, intuitive, or medium says, "Oh, your son is stuck on the other side." No, they're not stuck. They're there, right? I believe that you've got the physical body at one level, then there's the etheric, and then there's the astral. That's where we go when we pass away, and then you have the causal. The causal mental, and then the higher realms where God is, Jesus, guides, angels. That's here. Now, there are some people, Bob, that go right to the guides and the angels. I know when somebody's sitting with me, when something's come out of my mouth, I'll be like, you're a medium. You're studying this. Yes. That's the only time that I go guide related, because that's not, there are some people, Bob, that do the angels and the guides, right?
Yeah.
I could go there if I wanted to, but it's another ability. But yes, there are some that can go right there, Bob, right to the top. Mm-hmm. But yeah. They got to prove it too, though, Bob. Too, if they say I got Archangel Michael Uriel here, it's kind of hard when people channel, Kuan Yin and Michael. And I said to a friend of mine, out of 6-7 billion people, your person channels Kuan Yin. No, John, the energy of that person, the energy of that deity. Yeah, so it can be confusing, Bob, but yeah, there are some people that can go that high, but it takes, think about it, how long it would take to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you touched on it before, but I mean, there's obviously a difference between psychic ability and the ability to communicate with a discarnate mm-hmm. entity. And sometimes when I'm interviewing mediums and I'm asking them to explain the difference, they'll say to me, not often, but some of them will say, well, all psychic information comes from my guides. And I don't quite understand that, because you would think your guides would impart, information from somebody in the spirit world, but psychic is, reading somebody's energy, usually a living entity, and why would you
right.
be getting involved with that? So am I wrong with that? I mean,
I think too, Bob, it depends what they read and who trained them, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day, right? We're talking the early year, 1890s, 1910s, 1920s.
Yeah.
Back then, the belief was, you have a doorkeeper, the one that protects you. If you're a medium, you have a doorkeeper, all right, where they're the ones that let them come in one at a time, right? That the doorkeeper. And then you have the main guy that gives you the message, right? But as time went on, I think they evolved too, though, Bob. You know what I mean? So I think we'll need the guides and angels. I understand that. But it's like we go right to the spirit person, all right? But I believe, Bob, too, that's an old spiritualist way. That maybe back then, that's how it worked, all right? But I think that person, at the same token, it could be the verbiage. I have a colleague, and she says that my guides are telling me this, my guides are telling me that, and she's brilliant, right? I don't even question, is it coming from a guide? But yeah, but psychic, Bob, too. Psychic is, someone says, well, what's, some people, Bob, I know at your conferences, you showed the difference, right? A psychic, is someone that sits with you, they're getting the information from your aura, your past, your present, your potential future, all right? Because I don't think it's set in stone. Everything that you are, maybe some illnesses, your colors, dreams, aspirations, that's all right there.
Right.
Mediumship is different. I leave that person. I mean, it's their love that calls their loved one to them, right? Because I can't call them. It's the love of that person. I'm getting the information from directly from the other side. So psychics perceive, mediums receive. And Bob, if somebody is a really good psychic, really, really good, and somebody comes into the room That's why you have to make sure you're not doing this psychically, Bob. I think that's something that people need to perfect, right? There's a difference. If someone is a good psychic and somebody comes in for a reading and they keep thinking about their mom, or yesterday was mom's birthday, but they're going to a psychic now, Bob. The psychic would say, oh, your mom is here. Are they there, Bob? Or is it because they're picking up the person's thought who's right in front of them about their mother?
Right.
You've got to give more evidence. When other people start coming in, stuff that the person's not even thinking about, then you can see it. Then you know it's spirit communication that's happening.
Yeah, and the psychic information can be incredible in and of itself, but it doesn't necessarily show that there's life after physical death. You know,
exactly.
Which of course is our interest. One thing that I've noticed, I've never done a study and I don't have any statistics on it, but over the past 20 years, I have noticed that many mediums that have been doing this work for a long time develop physical ailments.
Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that mm-hmm. what you do takes a physical toll. You
know? They have no idea, Bob. Yeah. When people see, I call it the quickening, right? It's a hot, I just did something with my members. Every month I do a group reading for the members of my soul community, right? I may feel tired but I got to do it because I'm committed. And I would cancel if I had something happened emotionally in my life, it's very, very rare for me to cancel a reading. But we're all human. So by the end of it, I am so buzzing. It's like I had 15 cups of coffee. That's why you see a lot of psychics and mediums too that have, you've seen this, Bob. It's like, God, I have such bad anxiety. It's the energy that's running through us, right? Every cell, every energy center is vibing. I call it the quickening. I heard another medium say being a medium is like being put in a microwave, right? But it has its beauty. It takes a very, very, very disciplined, I've seen this. The woman that discovered me over in England, Joan Lambert, she was from Wales, Welsh woman, very calm, an older woman, very soft, very energy. There was balance there, Bob. And she, you know what I mean? She only would do it. But if you're not careful, yes. Same thing with Edgar Cayce. His masters or his guide said, you need to slow down. You need to stop this. What did he pass? When he was late 40s, early 50s? They warned him. They said, this is too much on your physical system. But he didn't listen, Bob, because so many people were waiting to see Edgar Cayce for him to help. But yeah, Bob, it does take it. And, you know, it's like we're just normal people, Bob, too. You know, some people may try to overwork to shut it off. Some people, you know, same as everybody else, to be less sensitive or feeling. Smoking too much or drinking or overexerting, it's a constant balance, Bob, with my life. Constant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, along those lines, I mean, a lot of, I always wondered why almost never, matter of fact, I don't know if I've ever witnessed a reading where a negative or so-called evil presence came through, and which always puzzled me, because I believe that there are negative and positive energies, you know, in this world, and so you would assume that it might be the case in the other worlds. The only answer I could get from mediums is they tell me that before a reading, they surround themselves with white light, where they ask their guides to protect them so that negative energy doesn't come through.
Mm-hmm.
You do anything similar to that?
Well, I say the Our Father, and I do the cruise. I make the sign of the cross, but not to, you know. There's another medium too, who's a colleague of mine. He says, when you have to ask, when people are like, oh, there's entities, I don't want to get attached. He said, by you saying I need protection, then you're saying there's something out there to be protected from.
Right.
I look at it this way. I'll say it to somebody or a student. Say, are you a good person? Yes. Do you help people? Yes. Like attracts like. Right. Now, Bob, if someone was vindictive or, evil intended, who knows what they're going to attract. But I've never had someone's like, aren't you afraid of entities attaching themselves? I'm like, come on, this is not Hollywood. I've never had that, right? I've never had that. But Bob, here's something. But there is, everybody who's listening, you have to just trust what you, look at different people, look at different books. My word is not God, Bob, right? But back in the day, back in the day, they used to say that if somebody, if there's a spirit on the other side who was a drinker, right, who had a real alcohol problem, they're going to look for somebody here, Bob, that has a drinking issue and attach themselves to them. So when this person's drinking, they can get the effects, you know, like that high from it. I don't know if that means a spirit high or just the vibe. I'm like, so an alcoholic on the other side is going to attach themselves to a human here who's also drinking. And I'm like, see, but some people, Bob, would say that. But what about this too? Ruth, you know, the medium, the writer, Ruth Montgomery. What about walk-ins, Bob? Walk-ins, people are like, what are walk-ins? Walk-in is all of a sudden, all right, say you're married. All of a sudden, your husband wakes up. He's a totally different person. He's not acting the same. He's questioning things. Somebody, so they think that her husband or walk-in, the soul of that person left and another higher being came in. And I'm like, what? Walk-ins. But I don't, Bob, are they walk-ins or wake-ups, right? That could be somebody's spiritual awakening. It doesn't mean they're not the same person. That's why, I mean, these books were very, very popular. Go with what in your gut feels, right, Bob? Because there's so many mediums, so many intuitives. There's all kinds of writers, too. Trust what you feel. You're like, you know what? That feels right to me. In my gut, that feels right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is. I mean, we don't have a lot of time, but almost, I mean, I have to ask you about something that you know I'm very interested in. So does it trouble you when you see mediums that are practicing today that really don't have any evidential ability in mediumship?
You see it, Bob. I mean, you know, when I'm teaching people, now someone goes, back in England, right, when I was there, they taught mediums are born, not made, right? And I wrote that in my book. Well, did I catch shit for it, right? How could you say that? But you teach students. I teach students to find the diamond in the rough or to nurture them. I believe that we all can do this, Bob. We all have the potential to do this, right? Some are born with a higher potential, some a lower potential. It just takes a lot more work to get there, right? But I have seen it where, I love mediumship, watching different mediums, not to judge, to watch, like to watch it happen in front of me. But I have seen give a little piece of evidence, right? A little piece and a very long message. And I'm like, where's the evidence? Where is the evidence? So yeah, Bobby, and you know what, Bob? I say this to people, do not get on stage until you're ready. Do not see clients till you're ready. Why? A mother loses a child, Bob, okay? Mother loses a child, like you, right? And you go to a medium and they're not ready to see people, or they're not ready to be on stage. And then that person, that parent will say, is that what mediumship is? And then never come back to it. So that one medium is representing mediumship of all of us. And they'll be like, no. You see, and that person sadly may never come back, Bob, to a medium because they think, you know, everyone is like that. Yeah.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, mediumship is serious business. You know, you're not grief professionals, but let's face it, you're in front of people that are in, you know, various grief. Different stages of grief and mental health, and a bad medium reading could do more harm than good, because you could walk away from that saying, you know, this is all a crock and there is no afterlife and my loved one is gone and that's it. But our time has flown by. Listen, we've been talking with John Holland. If you don't already know of him, go to his website, johnholland.com, H-O-L-A-N-D, just like the country. He's written 6 books, as we've mentioned. They're all
Bridging Two Realms, Bob, is the best for grief, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you heard it there.
Yeah, but Bob, thank you again for the Forever Family Foundation. I will be at one of your venues. I know you got Los Angeles coming up, I think, or California soon.
Yeah, California's in October, and you're going to do the summer one in Connecticut, right?
New England, yep, I haven't been to, so I love that.
That'll be great. John, it's always my great pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for coming on. And
my pleasure.
We'll talk again soon.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Thank you. It's time to say goodnight, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.